AM 910 WJCW Tri-Cities Talk Radio. It's now time for Dr. Dean Baird from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital and his pet Puri.
So the big burning question this morning, Alec, I think you may have answered it.
Yeah, I keep up with those things.
Is it cat week or dog week? Dr. Dean Baird with Mountain Empire Animal Hospital joins us and tells us, is it cat week or dog week, sir?
That is cat week.
He's got to get right up on that mic here, Doc.
Okay.
There we go.
Can you hear me now?
Is
that what you're supposed to say?
You're supposed to say, can you hear me, meow?
Could say that. Can you hear me meow?
All right.
You can hear most cats meow.
Yeah.
If you can hear me meow.
So it's cat week this week, right?
It is cat week.
At Mountain Empire Animal Center and also, of course, here on the morning show.
Well, I don't know if it's cat week at Mountain Empire Animal Hospital. It's just cat week for us discussing disease.
What do y'all do for the cat hair and pet dander there? How many times a day do you guys sweep and mop?
I don't know.
Really?
It depends on... We go through everything at lunch when we stop seeing appointments for a while, but that's not the extent of it. I mean, you get times you just have to go sweep.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, because it is literally, we can mop and sweep one day and the next day walk down with some black socks. It's like, did we even do anything?
Yeah, it's like there's no end to it.
No.
Because there's not.
And my cat, I would love to give him a quick little shavy shave, the big fat ones, because she's the one that does all the shedding. But she's going to have to be tranquilized or something to do that. Do I come to you to do that?
Well, we're not groomers.
Well, I mean, to get the good stuff.
On the other hand, we have had situations where we don't do any sedation. I mean, we have had to completely anesthetize animals.
Right.
To do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times there's no in-between with cats.
Yeah.
You know, that matting of the fur and this sort of thing? Or?
Now, is that what you're talking about, Ed?
I'm just talking about just shaving her down so I don't have to deal with all this down
hair.
We
only do it in emergency, like medical situations.
I mean, yeah, medical. That's what I'm looking at. Yeah,
not
yeah.
for grooming.
No. I want to do it for medical. Wink, wink.
Okay, so we're going to get into a cat disease.
Yeah.
All right, what you got?
Probably the most important infectious cat disease is feline leukemia virus. Y'all have heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've talked about it on the show. Yeah. Maybe not since Alex been here, but we have.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm.
So feline leukemia virus is pretty common. It's really severe because the cats that get persistent infection with it don't usually live. Mm-hmm. It's a retrovirus. You just hear that term used because it just means that the virus reproduces in reverse.
How so? Real quickly.
Well, on the DNA strands, I tell it.
Oh, I
how
see.
How it does it, as opposed to going forward, it goes backwards.
Interesting. Okay.
Has no real particular consequence to what we're talking about.
Okay.
That's just the type of virus that it is. So feline leukemia virus, I'm not really sure where it got the name. Leukemia, as you know, is a term to use to describe a type of bone marrow problem that is usually neoplastic, where there are too many white blood cells.
Okay.
You know, leukemia is a... There are several different types of leukemia that's really important in bone marrow cancer in people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not as common in dogs and cats, but can occur. Nonetheless, that's the word that's in the name of the virus, so that's what we use.
Okay.
And feline leukemia virus is transmitted mainly through bites, because it's a fluid, body fluid transmit thing. But it can be transmitted through blood and urine and feces and milk and just about any body secretion. Which is why kittens can be born with it.
Wow.
Because if the mother is infected, you know, they're going to nurse
and
get the virus out of the milk of the mother. And one of the things that we routinely try to tell people is if they have kittens, to try to get them tested if they don't know the status of their mother. Because if they don't have leukemia virus, well, first of all, if they don't have leukemia virus and could be potentially exposed to it, we can vaccinate them.
Mm-hmm.
If they do have leukemia virus, you can determine it when they're really young.
Okay.
If they already are infected.
All right.
Now, that's how it's transmitted, and the transmission is pretty much then due to direct cat-to-cat contact because of fluid.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The good thing about it is it's pretty latent labile virus. It doesn't live all that long in the environment, which means that for the most part, for it to be transmitted, it does really require cat contact.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you might have a situation where a cat is infected and you've got leukemia virus in the saliva and it eats out of a food bowl, and a cat comes up just immediately afterward and eats out of the same bowl and transmits it.
But just something that innocuous.
It would have to be really quickly because the virus won't live for all that long.
But still.
Meaning that can happen. But it's not like it's going to lay out here on the ground like parvovirus in dogs and sit there and be infected for months.
Right.
It doesn't work that
way. All right.
But with cats, it's pretty important to understand the transmission is cat to cat because cats do so many things cat to cat.
Yeah.
You know, fighting is one of them, but grooming and other things are also that way. And if they just sniff each other and lick one another, then you might have the potential for leukemia virus transmission. So basically the way you got to look at this thing is that if you've got a cat that is, if there is a cat that's infected, and you have a cat that you don't know the infection status or that is not infected, it's at risk if it's with that cat because of the transmission being that way.
Right.
All right. So what do you do to determine if you've got a problem if you don't have a sick cat? And you do a screening test to see if the cat that's in question is positive for leukemia or not. We can do that at point of contact in the hospital.
Would there be, how does it present so that you might go ahead and seek this test then?
Well, I'm talking about just to see if they're infected, even if they're not sick.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Okay.
We'll get to that in a minute.
All right.
If you have a cat that has a known exposure to another cat that is leukemia virus positive, then it's probably a good idea to test them and then test them again in 90 days because you don't know where in that period of time they may develop the infection because they've this been exposed. Let's put it this way. If you take the cat away from the situation where it's been with a positive cat, and then you test it and it's negative, that's good.
Okay.
It doesn't mean it'll stay that way because it may have been exposed to that cat.
All right.
And we'll usually recommend to be sure to retest them later on to make sure it didn't pick up the virus.
Okay. All right.
Now, to your question, how do they present? Any sick cat could be leukemia virus. There are a plethora of things that can happen that can make a cat sick. That could be under the umbrella of it being due to feline leukemia virus because it's a disease that causes bone marrow suppression and results in cats not being able to mount a normal immune response to a lot of different things.
Okay.
So I'm not going to narrow that down to a whole lot of stuff, but I'll say that the most common presentation that we see is cat that's not eating and not drinking and not feeling well, which can be about 500 other things.
Exactly.
But that's really the truth because that's what we see with cats. That's what sick cats do.
Yeah.
And hide. I need to remember that.
That's true,
right,
too.
Don't want to forget cats hide.
Yeah. They hide.
That's an important thing.
If they're
behavior.
Hiding and not pouncing,
then if it's a normally pouncy cat and it's doing that, then something, as Sherlock Holmes would say, the game is afoot.
There you go.
You got to figure out what it is.
Yeah.
So, what happens if a cat gets exposed to leukemia virus? I'm bringing this up because not every cat that gets exposed to it will become infected and sick. There's four different groups, and I almost got into going through those groups, and I decided that's just too complicated. And I'm going to make it more simple by saying that there was only one of those four groups that the cat becomes persistently infected and then will die, because the cats can actually shed the virus and not become infected, even though they've been exposed. And then they'll be okay. And it's also possible that a cat that has become infected with the virus can become infected with the virus, but not physically ill for some period of time. Maybe even for a long period of time. But they can still shed the virus and become infected to other cats.
So even though they don't present
even
any
they
symptoms.
They don't have symptoms.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Because the virus is still there.
Yeah.
So that's the reason, another reason, I guess I should say, that it's important to test so that you know whether you've got a cat that even though your cat doesn't act sick, could be a reservoir for infection for somebody else's cat if you're going to have other cats around it. Or if you're going to get other cats.
Right.
Or if your cat's going to go outside where it can be around other cats.
Because of the transmissibility.
Because of the transmissibility of the disease. So there are a lot of reasons for testing. Now, vaccination's a little bit of a different deal. Remember I said that the cats have to have the cat-to-cat contact almost exclusively to become infected. So if you've got a cat, or if you've got more than one cat, and they're going to be indoors, and you know that your cats are not infected, and they're not going to be around other cats, then there's probably no reason to vaccinate.
Right.
Because they don't have any exposure.
Yeah, well,
And they have to have direct cat-to-cat contact. The problem is that even though we see a lot of cats that are only indoors, the majority of cats are mostly indoors and do go out some. And if they go out some, they'll be around other cats whether you know it or not. and they can be at risk for developing an infection because they can get in contact with another cat outdoors.
Wow.
This is not a simple disease.
No, it isn't.
This is kind of the thing what we've been going through that we talk to clients about, explaining what they need to do from the standpoint of doing testing. And in some cases, and a lot of cases, but not all, vaccination.
Mm.
So, there is no vaccine that's completely effective. The leukemia virus vaccine, which is a series, a vaccine and a booster in 3 or 4 weeks, and then an annual booster or however often you need to do it after that, is very effective as far as percentage of protection goes.
Okay.
It's one of the most effective vaccines we have.
Uh-huh.
Ranks up there pretty close to rabies, but probably nothing is quite as good as rabies, thankfully.
You mentioned testing. Is that something we should, Alec and I are both cat owners. We're owned by cats, I'll put it that way. But the testing, is that something we should do as part of our annual visit? Just request?
Well, have your cats been tested before?
Not to my knowledge, no.
How about you, Alec?
Nope.
Do you know the origin of your cat? Either of you.
I know the big fat one comes from a family. But
do you know if the parents have been tested or the mother?
No.
Then, if you don't know the status.
Just do it as a matter of precaution.
Whenever you have the next exam, I think they ought to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember the protocol we talked about whether it's important to vaccinate or not. Depends on what your situation is.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Not every cat has to be vaccinated. But it definitely, we always recommend they be tested. Unless we know the status of the mother and they're negative and it's a kitten.
Right. Okay.
Then we don't, you don't really need to test those.
Right. You got that family tree or history at
hand. Well, they can't have picked it up at that age unless they got it from their mother or unless they've been around another infected cat. So we'll try to question about that. But because most people don't know the answer to that question, most time we're testing them.
You mentioned milk as one of the vectors. Is that the case with nursing?
It can be transmitted through milk. Yeah.
Wow. How about that?
Because that's a body fluid.
I guess so, sure.
Yeah. It's not that big a stretch to think about, really.
Now, I guess the last thing, maybe you addressed this early on, is this a common problem?
Very common.
It's
not very common that every day we see a cat die of leukemia virus. I don't mean that.
Okay.
But the infectivity rate is high enough that we need to say it's common. Plus, it's so serious because those cats that do become infected and new clinical disease do die.
Okay.
If that whole sequence follows through.
Right. Well, it's a tough one, for Cat Week.
And we talked about that milk. It may actually be that leukemia virus can be transmitted transplacentally. I didn't really look that up before.
In the womb.
Yeah, and which is another fluid.
Right, again, but very interesting.
Anyway, it's easily transmitted if there's cat contact.
Cat owners, definitely pay attention to this week's program. Great information, and I speak for Alec as well as myself as cat owners, thanking you, Dr. Dean, there.
So that means next week will be dog week, or as I should say, it will be Monday morning so Carl can ask Alec if it's dog week.
Absolutely. We cherish our traditions around here.
I'm glad you all can communicate.
That's right. I ask him all the questions, and I hope he has answers.
And he gives you all the answers, right?
I hope. Dr. Dean Baird with Mountain Empire Animal Hospital, which sponsors this portion of our program, Pet Puri, comes to you every week around 8:15. Mountain Empire Animal Hospital is open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. What's the phone number to call, Doc?
282-3771.
Very good. We'll talk to Dr. Dean next week.